The thought that I have here is give unto the Lord. You see, the Lord gave me this thought when I was reading this scripture, and I want us to go to that scripture. It's Proverbs 19 and 17.
He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again.
You see that? When we give unto the Lord, it said he that has pity on the poor giveth unto the Lord. When we do something for someone else, we're doing it for the Lord. And it says it'll be repaid. You know, you really can't beat God giving. So you can just give everything, and he still outgives us. And this giving started from the Lord in the first place. He's the one that gave first. I think about God gave his son, and his son gave his life. So we can take up the risk, so to speak, and give back to the Lord. As we give to others, as we do for God, there's many ways we can give unto the Lord. Some people maybe depend a lot on giving money. But you know, God wants us to give more than money. Or even money if we don't have one penny. We can still give unto the Lord. How do we give unto the Lord? Well, we start out. We're going to give our heart to him, right? When we ask God to forgive us for our sin, we recognize that our sins really displease God. When we sin, we're not making God happy. We're making him sad. So our sins displease him. And beyond that, is those sins that keep us from going to heaven. See, this life is short, and at its longest is short. Eternity, there is no end. So anyway, God gave his son gave his life, and now it's our turn to give, and we need to give our lives to him. And so we start out by being sorry for our sins and recognizing that our sins put a barrier between us and God. And then we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my sins. That's the beginning of giving, because now we're giving our life to him. Let's go to Psalms 96 and 8.
We actually give our sins to him, Sister Doris.
Yeah.
And he throws them away as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah. But when we give to the Lord, you know, we are going to, it's like an investment. And we're going to be paid in great dividends. Some people like to invest in different things. They invest in stocks and or real estate and all that. But when we're giving to the Lord, we're investing in eternal, something that's eternal, something that we don't have to leave here, because all our investments and all our money is going to be left here when we die. But this is one gift that we investment that we can take with us. Did someone get Psalms 96 and 8?
Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his court.
Give unto the Lord. This is one way we can give unto the Lord. We can give glory and honor to his name. He's worthy. He's done so much for us. He's worthy. Anything we give to the Lord, and we really owe it to him. But, you know, he doesn't want us to give it to him like Well, I guess I'll do this because I owe this to the Lord. He doesn't want that kind of giving. He wants you to give it to him because you give it to him from your heart. Do you want somebody to give you something and they say, well, I really don't want to give this to you, but I'm going to give it to you anyway? You don't want it. You almost want to say, that's okay. Just keep it. That's the way the Lord would feel if we give our service to him like that. But he wants us to give from our heart because we love him. Why are we here? God loves us. That's why we're here. All of us today are here because God's love. He loves us. And he wants us to love him back. That's the way we give to the Lord. Do it from your heart because he's been so good to you. Do you know we wouldn't even be here if it hadn't been for God? We wouldn't have even been able. You think your alarm woke you up this morning? No, God did. God did. Because the alarm could have gone off and you'd have been dead in eternity. It just ringing. And so he's done so much for us. All our service to him should be out of a heart of love and a willingness to give him. Every day we wake up, we need to have a desire to do something for God. If it's nothing but encourage somebody along the way, call someone and tell them, I hope you have a good day. Cheer someone else up. Do something. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due his name. We can tell of his goodness. That's giving him glory. We can sing like we do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's about as much singing as I can do is a joyful noise. But I still do it from my heart. When I sing those songs, I look at those words and my heart is going up in adoration and devotion to him. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due his name. Now let's look at what God gave us. John 3:16, most of us can probably quote it. You can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read verse 17, brother.
17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You see what God did? He's the first one that did the giving. He gave us his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now read John 15:13.
John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Read the next one.
Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Jesus gave his life. The Father gave his Son, and the Son gave his life. Greater love than no man. You see, we can't compare. The little that we do for him is minimal. Did you stay up late reading your Bible? That's minimal compared to what God has done and what Jesus did. Jesus gave his life. You can't give no more than that. There's nothing beyond that that you can give. You can say to somebody, I love you so much, I'll do this. You can have Esther, if you remember in Esther. She came to the king and he said, the half of what I have, I give unto you. The half. But he couldn't compare to Jesus, because Jesus gave everything. And so, since God did this for us because he loved us, and Jesus did it for us because he loved us, then we should give to him because we love him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and read 1 through 5.
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God.
Yes, and that's what we want to do. Just like these people, they were giving to the cause, but they first gave of themselves. And that's what we do. Let's give of ourselves. If we start with giving of ourselves, if we have other things to give, they had, it says their liberalities, they were giving no doubt money to the cause, but they first gave of themselves. You know, when you think of how can you give to the Lord, we can start with ourselves. Give our time and our talents to the Lord. If you have a talent, we don't want to hide that talent. We don't want to just, you know, some people can really sing. They say, and they'll sit in their seat instead of getting up and singing for the Lord. The Lord give you a talent, use it for him, however it is. Everybody have different talents. Some people might not can sing, but they can help. Do you know in Florida, which I spent a good part of my life in Florida, 30-some years, my husband and I were married 35 years and some months before he died, and I still stayed there a while. But anyway, while I was there, there was this sister. If I call her name, some of you would know. She, I believe, had what I consider the gift of helps. Looks like she just knew how to, just when you needed her, do you know what I'm saying? She was right there, willing and just do for you. I'm telling you, I almost hate to go to Florida without her being there. And I was planning to go last week, 2 weeks ago, whichever, and she wasn't going to be there because she had to go to California. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do without this sister? If I need, for instance, I'm there. I don't have my car. I fly in. I might want to go see my son that's sick. I don't have to worry about it. She'll take me. Or I might need somebody to pick me up late at night from the airport. I don't have to worry about it. Just call her. She's going to do it. Or if I needed, like when we do vacation Bible school or something, if I need to go to the Dollar Tree to get some supplies, maybe for the children or maybe for myself, I didn't have to worry about it. She'll take it. Take me. And it wasn't, she never made you feel like you were a bother. And that's why I didn't mind asking her. Because, you know, sometimes people mean well, but it's hard to ask them if you feel like you're bothered. Sometimes you have to. So this is what I mean. Give unto the Lord. Don't you know every time you got your car and you helping somebody take them somewhere, you giving unto the Lord. And the Lord will be very pleased with you. Let's go to Luke 6 and 38. But we want to do everything we do as unto the Lord. We want...
Luke 6 and 38.
Mm-hmm.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
So you're going to get it back. Isn't that something? You do one little something for God, and it's going to be, it says, it's good measure. It's shake. Anybody ever put some flour in a cup? If you put it in there, and then you shake it, it goes down and get more. That's what the Lord's going to do. We do a little bit for him, and it's like he's pressing that down and pouring more on it. We're going to get it abundantly. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7.
Is it 2 Corinthians 9?
Mm-hmm. Verse 6 and 7.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
See, sowing, giving is like sowing. If you put a few little seeds in a plant, a few seeds, you're going to get a little bit. But if you plant a whole lot, you're going to get a whole lot. So we should be encouraged to just do all we can in his service. I want to try to move on. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10.
Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Do it with all our hearts. Not just, I hate to do this. Well, I got to go see this sister. I know she's sick. But, I don't really feel like going, but I'm going to go because I have to. You might as well stay home. Don't even try. God does not. He said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Whatever we do, let's give cheerfully. Now, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Doesn't this make salvation wonderful?
Yes.
Salvation is wonderful. You're happy. You're glad to do things for God. It just makes your life so happy. Do you know when you do something for somebody else, it makes you happy. It puts a smile on your face. And Travis, I love seeing that smile. Thank the Lord. You too, Bertha.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest.
So you might say, well, I can't sing. I can't preach. I don't know what I can do. Look around. Whatsoever your hands find to do. When I go to Miami, I walk in the church, maybe church is over, I see Victoria, one of the young. She's in the foyer, sweeping the foyer. She's finding something to do. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. If you clean bathrooms or take out trash, do it with all your might. This is how we can serve the Lord. Colossians 3 and 17. I really love this way. It's a beautiful way. I've seen it as I was growing up. I saw it, and now I'm old, and I have the desire to do it. I've seen this wonderful way of living for God and enjoying doing for others. I've seen others do that. I grew up seeing that. And then now that I'm old, it's all in my heart. Do you know we can set a good example for others as we willing to share the gospel and willing to show love to other people and do things for other people, it's going to set example for someone coming behind us. You know that song that says, may all who come behind us find us faithful? Yes. They have something to look forward to. They see how saints live. This is how saints live. When you live for God and God's in your heart, this is how we live. And it's wonderful. I tell you, I was telling, where was I? Somebody. And I said, was it on young people's meeting? I said, sometimes I just enjoy salvation and I want to tell others so bad. I feel like I wish I could stand on the housetop and shout. And I said, but I wouldn't do that because they think I lost my mind. But, you know, you want others to see how beautiful this life is. And this is how we do it. We live it. We do it from our heart. Did anybody get that scripture?
3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
So see, you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you give a gift, or if you share your time with somebody, sometimes there are people that's elderly and they need somebody to visit them. They need somebody to take their time and sit down and talk to. Do you know people in homes, for instance, they're sad. Some of them, their children don't visit them. They put them there and leave them there. But if you could take a little time and go and speak to them and sit down and show them some time, give them some time, this is a blessing to them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:31. I remember, and I think I've shared this with you all, when my mother was living, at Christmas time, she'd bake these cookies and she would go and give them to her neighbors. You know, just do as much as you can for others. And I don't know how many times I used to go with her to go see sick people. And today, my sister and I both like to go and visit the sick. But she would go, and she didn't care if I went with her. And she was walking, I'm trying to walk right behind her because I love my mother like that.
31?
Yes.
Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
Yes. So everything we're doing, we're not doing it for somebody to look up to us and think we're something. No. We're doing it to show forth Christ because Christ is in our heart. And I tell you, it's in our heart so much, we want other people to enjoy what we enjoy. So whatever we do, we're going to do all to the glory of God.
33 says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Yes, amen. Now let's move. Matthew 10:42, Jesus told us, there is a way that we might wish that we had done things. There are some people that they at the judgment, he said, he'll ask them, you know, if you didn't do this and you didn't do that, and they wonder why not. But then he showed us that if we do unto others what we're doing to them, we're doing to him. Matthew 10:42.
And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, well, I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
So I'm a disciple of the Lord. And I'm going to give this cup of cold water to somebody that needs it. We won't lose our reward. And then Matthew 25, 31 to 40. But if we don't do these things, then we will have neglected the Lord. Sometimes you say, well, I haven't neglected the Lord. But if you neglect others, you neglect the Lord. So we don't want to do that. We want to do what we can in his service.
Matthew 25 and 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, be blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
See all these good things they had done, but they didn't know they were doing it to the Lord. They just was doing it to other people, just giving clothes, or they need clothes, they give them food, whatever they find that they needed, they provided it. And then the others on the left.
Then shall he say unto the on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed in the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in, naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. How far?
Keep going.
Then shall this answer also answer, saying, Lord, when shall we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me.
You see, the thing is, they didn't understand that if the Lord, in other words, Lord, if I saw you and you needed food, you needed clothes, you needed this or that, I would definitely have given it to you. So when did I not do this? And then he told them, when you didn't do it to others, you didn't do it to me. And so as we give and do for others, we are doing unto the Lord. Now, I want us to have a few little scriptures here. Ecclesiastes 11 and 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the waters. You may not know what you're doing. Sometimes you do things for others and you don't even realize what a help it is. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. It's going to be a blessing to you. Let's go now we want to encourage you. I'm about to finish up here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. I want to encourage us to work for the Lord. Whatever we do for him, because it's going to, in the end, it's going to give us eternal blessings.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. Whatever you're doing for God, keep doing it, because it's never in vain in the Lord. Let's go to Mark 10, read verses 29 and 30. Nothing we do is in vain in the Lord. The Lord is taking note. He's watching. He sees it. You know, I don't believe the Lord wants us to do things and then blow a trumpet and try to, you know, make people know. You know that $100 that was in there, I put that in there. Or that $1,000, I put that in there. No, he doesn't want to do it. You remember the time when all these people were casting into the offering, and Jesus, this poor widowed lady came and she gave 2 mites. And he said, she put in more than them all. And they were amazed. Here these private people were putting in great amounts. And here this poor lady put in 2 mites. And Jesus said she did more than them all. That's the kind of giving the Lord wants. She gave her all. That was her whole life, her whole money. But she gave it. 2 mites. We can put in 2 pennies, so to speak. Don't you know the Lord sees those 2 pennies? And he's happy. He's pleased because we're giving it from our heart. Maybe a nickel. Maybe a dime. But when we give from our heart, God is pleased. And yet, I can't say it's not good for the person to give the 100, but it's what's in our heart that counts. Let's go now to Galatians 6 and 9. Oh, did I call Mark and I didn't get to it? Yeah, 29. I got distracted.
Then Peter began to say to him, "Whoa, we have left all in the policy." Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, that he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come,
do you know nothing you do for the Lord is going to everything's going to count, and in the world to come we're going to get reimbursed, so to speak, or blessed here, but also in eternity. That's the thing; it's going to count in eternity. What we give to the Lord will count in eternity. I was thinking about that scripture. I keep it as part of one of my scriptures. And because, you know, I have so many adopted children and grandchildren. And I say, I'm claiming my hundredfold. I got a bunch of them, and I'm claiming, right, Jason? I've claimed my 100. So, yes, nothing. We can forsake houses and all this stuff for the gospel's sake, but the Lord is going to give us dividends in return. And the last scripture is Galatians 6 and 9.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Thank the Lord. So be encouraged to give unto the Lord. We will reap if we faint not. Pray for me.